Had a little listen to his podcast, huh?
Dude, it's educational. And besides, I've been wanting to listen to this one.
Welcome to Idling in the Impala, a podcast by and for lovers of supernatural and the fan fiction it inspires. Before we begin, just want to remind you to like, subscribe, follow wherever you listen to us so you don't miss any episodes or bonus content. If you love what we do and want an easy way to show your support, please consider leaving us a positive all the stars ratings on your favorite listening platform. It helps SPN and fanfic lovers find us and share in the fun. I'm Sandra.
I'm Casey. And before we get started, and this will probably get cut, I've just realized we say Impala differently.
I don't know if I just said it wrong when I realized it as I was saying it. So I might have said it wrong in that recording.
Yeah, you put Impala, the emphasis on the on
Impala,
the P.
In the Impala. Get in the Impala.
Like from Boston.
God. Yeah.
Because I was listening to it thinking, I'm sure I put emphasis on the L.
I was seeing if you were paying attention.
Well, I was. I was paying attention. You can cut that. It's fine. You don't need me. Sandra, have you forgotten how to word?
I think it's fine. I do sometimes forget how to word. You would not. Oh my God. You should listen to me when I'm in the recording booth. Sometimes I'm like, what the fuck was that word? It came out. I'm like, that's not how you say that. Do that again.
Yeah. Well, you see, because I have like, I imitate like unconsciously. Mm-hmm. So like my accent will change depending on who I'm talking to, which is why when the heavy Yorkshire comes out when I'm angry, mm-hmm. or like hyped up about something, as my accent is not that thick normally, but like if I'm talking to you, I'll find myself Americanizing words, and I'm always really worried that people think I'm taking the piss out of them, and I'm not. It's just like
I've just heard that's a thing that people do. You tend to mirror
yeah,
who you're
it's
talking
like a neurodivergent
yeah.
thing that mm-hmm. yeah, we mirror with like we're always running act like real people or act like normal people.exe. And it's one of those, you're like, look, I'm like you. I'm ingratiating with you. Look, we sound the same. And it's not conscious.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
Now I will never be able to say this again. Welcome to Idling in the Impala, a podcast by and for. There we go. I got it that time.
You got it that time. You're fine. Right. You're fine. Okay, if you fuck it up again, I won't draw attention. Well, not fuck it up, but if you put the emphasis differently,
Impala.
I won't draw attention to it.
Impala.
The thing was, I wasn't thinking Sandra fucked that up. I was thinking, have I forgotten how to say Impala? Because I put the emphasis on the L, and have I been saying it wrong all this time?
I'm glad we both realized I said it wrong at the same time. So I'm glad, because I knew I was like, nope, that's not, we're just going to keep going.
It's not what we do.
But
the days.
Again, as we are professionals, as we always are, welcome to Idling in the Impala.
with the emphasis on the L. So now that that's out of the way, I'm real sorry, guys. We're not exactly taking Sandra to task this week, although maybe it depends what our answers are. If I'm not satisfied with her, but
whoa,
no.
This is going to get kinky.
Tense. Damn, did it get on there? No, Sandra has been doing some stuff, like socially, like out in the wider fandom. And she's come back to report her findings to the hermit that lives in the cave, because I want to know what's out there, guys. I want to know what's happening. So I want to call this episode Bangs and Bingos, but Sandra's going to be real boring and call it Big Bangs and Bingos.
Just like all the bees in it, but I might just call it Bangs and Bingos. I just like,
but I like the connotations of bangs and bingos. Like bangs, sometimes you fuck, sometimes you play bingo.
Okay.
That's funny to me.
So again, can we just talk about the fact that when I first started hearing, like, I did not understand what a bang was, and I didn't know what a big bang was. And
can I say,
yes,
I knew
you can.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you, co-host of mine, for allowing me to speak on our joint podcast. I'm so fucking lucky. No, I knew what a big bang was because I had seen like the collections and the series is. I don't think that's the right word, on AO3. But I am still none the wiser as to why it is called a big bang. I understand the concept. I understand
that
why it's called a reverse bang.
I don't think I ever found out why.
But I'm still unsure why the bang.
I wonder if it's big bang because you think of like an explosion or, you know, I mean, I hear bang and I think of people banging. And I thought that that's.
Maybe that's what it is. Yeah.
You know,
maybe they wanted alliteration.
Yeah.
Alliteration.
But yeah, aside from that.
But Sandra's done some. She's done a bang. and she's midway through a bingo. And I was like, we should talk about this. And she was like, I want to wait until I finish this bingo. And I was like, no, we're going to talk about it now.
Yeah, we'll get into why, because that's a whole thing too. But
So Sandra,
Go ahead. You ask me questions. Yes.
No. I can ask you questions, but Sandra, in her meticulous research, has like brought over like a whole heap of shit on Big Bangs from the wiki, so she can detail to you exactly what they are and when they started and where you can find them and stuff like that. But if Sandra wants me to jump right in with questions, I will. But she didn't do all that copy pasting for nothing. Like that takes work, you know?
Yeah, it's a lot to copy and paste something.
Sorry.
I will say that no, there are actually notes that I typed up myself, but I was curious and I was going to consider just like throwing out a question like on the Tumblr or somebody. Could somebody, you know, who's been doing Big Bangs or knows the history of it, would somebody be willing to like, you know, school a person on it? Because I'd seen them, I'd seen tags, I'd seen things on Tumblr, I'd seen random things, but just really didn't understand the process and how they came about. And I think I've always been very much lurker just by personality, and that transfers over into my online personality, I think, or did at least for a long time.
And then I came along and started kicking her out of the cave, going, go find out what's happening out there. I'm not doing it. You
I don't want to.
Yeah, it's like whenever we have to book guests and she goes, you want to reach out? No. Never, literally never. That's your job. I don't do this. She started making me now though. So if you have received communication from me that is like, hey, do you want to come back on the podcast? Know that it was done under duress, but I love you dearly anyway. I just don't like talking to anybody.
Oh goodness.
He keeps making me. I'm an abused co-host. Well,
I mean, it's kind of our job. So,
That's not part of my one fucking job description.
Not talking to people isn't part of your job on the podcast.
Oh, right. I thought you meant reaching out to people to book them for the podcast. Like, that's not my job. That's your job. Yeah, no, talking. No, but it's like talking to people who have volunteered, like who are willing to come on the podcast. Like, I know they want to be here. If I reach out to someone, I don't know that they want to be here until they respond to me. And that is very anxiety inducing.
Okay. No, I do get that. I guess, yeah, as we were talking about earlier, I think I've gotten a little bit past that anxiety of it, of that part of it. So I get that. Most definitely.
You have the what is charitably called the mum overdrive, which is when there is more than one person who is unable to do a thing. One of those people will develop the ability to do the thing because other people need them to do the thing. And in our little thing, that is you.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I've gotten the mum in lots of situations, even though I didn't never want to be a mum myself. I feel like I've gotten that.
Why are you saying it like that?
I don't know, because you did.
Fuck me, we're going to call this episode Callie doesn't let Sandra get away with a goddamn thing. But it sounds weird when you say mum.
Mum?
Oh, I don't like that.
Okay, I would say mom. How about mom?
That's okay. All that to say, Sandra's developed the mum override or mom override, and she has the ability now to go out and do the things, because if neither of us do the things, they won't get fucking done.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, she has developed. So you were going to post on Tumblr and ask about.
But then I was like, there's something somewhere. Somebody's done an explanation and a deep dive into Big Bang history. And sure enough, Supernatural Wiki has a page on Big Bang, which I will link in the description of this episode. But basically, a Big Bang is a style of challenge in which authors write fics of a set minimum word count, and an anonymous claims process allows artists to select a story they would like to illustrate. Then the fic and the art are posted together, and they will do it like over a certain number of like posting period challenge. So it'd be like a week, couple weeks, couple days, however they're set up. Every Big Bang, I believe, probably just has the bones of it or similar skeleton. And then they might just, you know, change some things around. I did not know when it first came out. Apparently the first Big Bang was the SBN J2 Big Bang, which started in 2007, assuming that's LiveJournal. Gotta be. Okay, so this article in Supernatural Wiki, there is even a spreadsheet that will show you Supernatural Bang style challenges and has them listed out by like years, how many entries there were, what the, like, primarily, like, if they're on LiveJournal or Tumblr, and, you know, if they're still active or if they're on hiatus. Honestly, this one, I think, only goes up until, the spreadsheet only has up until 2021. So we're talking 3 years later. There are a lot of things that have changed since then. And obviously, this person has no longer kept up this spreadsheet, but it's interesting to look at to see all of the different types of big bangs there were. And there are also, mini bangs. Big bang word counts are about, like, usually, I would say I've seen them about, like, maybe 20,000, at least 20,000 or higher. But I've seen some, God, I would say I've looked at a few that were like 70, 80, 100,000 words. Wow. When I've seen them and when I started learning a little bit more about them, I think really a lot of that information came through podcasting and talking to different people and understanding the ins and outs, and that there's a claims process, and that you are working with someone collaboratively. Cause I really just kind of thought, oh, people just read your stuff and just like your stuff and then they draw it. But no, there's actually, like, it's a process. And they also have reverse bangs, which work where the art is done first and then the author will claim the art to write a story about it. So we will, again, link in the description so you get an idea, but it's been around for a while. I've seen them mainly on Tumblr. Cause again, I think I created a LiveJournal account, but never actually did anything with it. Cause I got really scared with the whole process. Once I was like, I don't understand this. There's too much going on. I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
So I own a LiveJournal account because I got sick of trying to view art from AO3. And it was like, oh, this is not safe for work content. And you show you what And I thought if I made an account, that would go away. Okay. It does not.
Okay.
It does not. Even if you have an account and you're logged into LiveJournal, you still get this. This is flagged as 18 plus. Are you sure you want to proceed? Yada, yada, yada. So I don't bother with it.
I mean, there's literally so many different flavors of bangs too. Like, again, the J2 was the first one. For stories featuring any Supernatural character or Jared or Jensen pairings or Jen, story minimum 20,000 words. Then, of course, there's Dean Cast, SDL Big Bangs, Wincest, which I'm curious if that's still a thing. Like, I have not looked into it, but Sammy Big Bang, Sestiel, Sabriel, Team Free Will, Mega Cass. Again, and just because these don't necessarily all have to, there can be gen fix in a lot of these. Some are very particular, though. And again, like, by the title of it, you know what the sort of, like, requirements are for the fic. Like, you know which characters need to be involved, and if there's going to be a pairing. It's pretty much standard. If you know, Wincest Big Bang, it's Sam and Dean, mm-hmm. like, you know, Destiel, Dean and Cass. So because I think my one thing about Big Bangs too, and I remember asking this question, was I was interested, you know, do they have any that accept, like, say, reader insert or original female character? And I was told some would, some wouldn't. You really had to check the requirements. And because that's kind of, you know, what I like to write, I think that was another reason I steered away from looking that much into it. So what ended up happening back in 2023, I think the stars aligned and my lurker brain was like, no, we're going to look and do these things. And I think these things just kind of maybe gravitated towards me. I feel like I opened up the universe and said, bring me all the things and then I will try them. So my first big bang.
Listeners, can you guess what it was? Can you guess which bang it was?
So it was, okay, first of all, it's technically a mini bang, but it was the Dean Winchester big bang. Big surprise.
Oh my God, was it really, Sandra?
It really was.
Oh
so
my God.
When I saw Shocked. That and I, like, looked at the site, and first of all, the site is just pretty because there's a nice banner of just, like, Dean Winchester, like, over top.
I go, look.
This is just, I have to do this.
He's, like, staring, like, into your soul.
Ted would be scared. But
you should show him that picture and be
I might.
How does this make you feel?
Was this the look?
Was this it? No, no, that's not a give me my fucking car keys look back. That's more of a take your pants off.
Yeah. Kind of look. That's a little different. I think he would know. He would know the difference. But
yeah.
So this was a mini bang. So I know in previous years, I believe this has been a very like big, you know, thing, experience, situation. But the minimum word count for this was 5K. And I was like, I can do that. I can do a 5K. I said, you know, give me a certain amount of time. Tell me what my parameters are. I can probably do it. So that's what I signed up for. Big surprise. Dean Winchester, Big Bang. Dean-centric, but it's also gen-friendly. So you didn't necessarily have to have, you know, a pairing or something going on. It could be multi-ship. Mm-hmm. So it did have, you know, the main requirement. It's got to be about Dean. Like, Dean's got to be in it. Dean's got to be front and center.
And I think, don't they ask that it's not something that's put, oh no, you've maybe covered that later. No, you haven't. There's a rules and requirements page, but also just in the interest of, is it not that it can't be something you've already posted? It has to be something new.
It has to be original. Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure that's what it is for all of them. Like, it's gotta be original work. Like, you can't have started or posted something. Like, you know, this is where it's also kind of good to like work on whips. I'm learning and not post them, because sometimes something you're writing might come up. If again, you want to do a lot of these, if you've got an idea and you start working on it, you start posting it, you're kind of screwed. And you can't, you know, sort of use it for that. For this one in particular, the bingo was a little bit different, which I'll get into. But yeah, most of the bangs, it's got to be original. It's got to be an original work. They're not going to let you, I already started this one thing, you know, yeah. Fic must be original, previously unpublished. A center around Dean Winchester. So I started that. I had about 3 months to work on this fic from sign up to submission and then collaborate with an artist that claimed my summary. So I will say I'm always impressed by the way the mods that I've come across so far handle any of these, because, you know, I had to complete a Google form to enter. Then I got an invite. I could join their Discord server. This was not a requirement for this, but it was like an extension of it. So I could join the Discord.
An option, yeah.
Yeah, I could submit. I would submit information about my fic in progress, you know, either email or another Google form that were sent out via email. So they kept in touch throughout the process. And if I had a question, I could send it out and usually get an answer. Not right away, but like, you know, everybody's got lives and stuff, but they would get back,
yeah.
You know, and they were on it. So the author signup started in, I think, before August. I can't remember when I did it, but I think it was like right before the closing of it, which was August 6th. I think a couple of days before, I'm like, you know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to give this a try. And then had to fashion the idea. Then you have to submit a draft and sort of like a claim summary. And they have to be sort of like, they call it artist friendly. In terms of like what you're going to put out there, like not like necessarily a summary, but what parts of the story would be something that a artist would get interested in, say, wanting to write. So kind of like scenes, what's going to be happening, what's the basic outline, that kind of situation. So,
Which sounds incredibly stressful to me because I hate writing regular summaries. So writing summaries that are geared towards someone who's going to draw it instead of just read it.
Yeah.
Very stressful.
Yeah. And a lot of it, I mean, you know, like the visual part of it, like, you know, so kind of thinking of it in that way, like is, because sometimes if like, you know, how we're really excited about writing a certain scene, you know, if like we've got it in our head and we want that to come to life. I think that's sort of like thinking about it in an artist, you know, a fan art, a digital, whatever sketch, like what they might be really like drawn to write. And that was interesting. And I remember talking to, I think it was Amy and Ash right around the time I had signed up for it. We were talking about, I think it was SPN Masquerade or whatever. And they'd given some like good ideas. Cause I mean, they were like, they're pros about, you know, with the bangs. They've been doing it for over a decade. So
Amy, Ash, if you're listening, why is it called the Big Bang? Let us know.
Do you know? Please tell us the lore about that.
We're curious.
Honestly, I tried to go back, Casey, in our notes.
Oh, Lord.
Like in our messages, because I was like, when did I actually come up with the idea for my fic? because I don't know if I'd, I really don't think I'd started writing the idea before the bang. I think the bang was what
no, I'd always I had this. You'd had the idea, but you'd not worked on it until you were like, well, I can use this idea for this bang because I like everything else is already in posting progress.
Yeah.
So see, there's merit to hoarding things until they're done.
I know. Every once in a while, I guess I have to start doing that more.
No. Post. Jesus Christ, post. I'm insane. Post. There's merit either way.
Yeah, I think so. So, of course, how did I come up with my fic idea? Dean-centric, easy peasy. I didn't really plan on writing for a popular ship. So I wanted to come up with an idea that I thought an artist would be interested in drawing. They had to be Dean lovers. That was easy. I'd already had a whip, which is Wash, which if you... It's still going. I had an original female character. No,
Wash isn't still going. I think we're on Rinse at this point.
Well, okay. So it was just supposed to be... Whatever.
It was supposed to be just one thing at the time Sandra was doing this.
But now it's not.
Now it's more than one thing.
So I could
Things have happened.
So if I had worked on that whip and had not published it, I could have probably used that. You know, it had an original character, which would have been permitted. But it was already out there, so it wasn't gonna work. And I had no end in sight. So I said, there's no way I can put myself on a deadline for this.
I fully cannot wait until I can take you to task over that and announce to the world what your two fucking ideas were and how the hell you pulled all this out.
So
it's impressive at this point.
It is. I do think it's impressive at this point. Like I'm beating myself up as I'm starting to work on another part of it. So the reader insert was not permitted, which in hindsight, I kind of get all like moody about, but it's understandable. It's too abstract. It's too personal. You can't necessarily ask someone to draw. Like you couldn't really you could draw something. It was just Dean in a scene, but not the reader, you know? So
yeah,
I kind of get it. I kind of get why that's a little, it's too much. It's too much to ask. And I already had some whips going on. I said, well, those aren't going to do. So I got the idea from a short fic that I'd posted back in August of 2021. It's called, Oh, I'll Be Anything You Want. It's from the POV of an OFC who's a hunter witch type and runs into Dean, who she knew from a case they worked on years ago. So there was mention in the story of what had happened to Dean on that case. And I always kind of wanted to explore it. So for this mini bang, we got Scratch That Itch, which has Puppy Dean, and it's a Beagle Dean.
It's so, the cutest fucking thing.
So that
it's
ended
the
up
the cutest
being,
without yeah. the art. The art makes it so much better, but like it's cute without, it's the cutest.
And it was, I think it was kind of, for me, it was like, okay, try to write something not really long that, you know, you've got some backstory to, and it would make it just like a fun little sort of like Dean character exploration a little bit. So there were only a handful of author signups for this mini bang. I think maybe five or six. It really wasn't a lot. And I will say the actual experience, you know, I mean, aside from my writing, which, you know, that wasn't too bad. I'd scheduled out my writing based on the deadlines, submitted the summaries. I'm good with, you give me deadlines and stuff, I can usually schedule shit out and figure out my stuff. I work backwards and that usually does help.
I'm terrible at that.
So I was able to like provide plot outlines, you know, to fill in the gaps. Like when they needed to see the progress, I could say, well, this is what's going to happen. And because it wasn't an overwhelming story, it was easier to sort of like outline, you know, I wasn't getting too deep into a lot of specifics about, you know, why is this happening? What's going on? Like I could get that in there and then move past it. The first artist I was paired with was MIA, not very communicative. And I don't know what was going on. There might've been some personal life things, you know, that I wasn't aware of, but I'd reached out a few times and the conversations never really went anywhere. I was told, oh yeah, I'll get to it. You know, I'll read it and I'll get back to you with my ideas. Nothing. A few times. And
that's a shame.
Towards the end of the scheduling, when it was literally final check-ins had to happen. So I'd like the author and the artist have to send their check-ins to the mods. Well, check-ins had to happen August 20th, 22nd. So I had done my part and I had basically said, you know, I've touched base, but I haven't really heard anything. Hopefully, you know, there's something soon. Then I got an email from the mods literally on Halloween. They hadn't heard from the artist and had to drop out. They had to drop them out of the challenge. So it wasn't even that the artist had dropped out. They had had to take them out of the challenge. So by that point, I was like, okay, I'm not going to get anybody to draw my stuff. And I was kind of disheartened by that. I'm like, all right, well, maybe I won't get it. But then they said they had had a pitch hitter ready to help with the submission. So pitch hitter is somebody
That's what I was going to ask.
That will kind of come in and they're kind of like, they offer to fill in, you know, if something happens and the artist is unable to complete the work for the story.
Pitch hitter, we're assuming, is just someone who's ready to jump in at the last minute, I guess.
Yeah.
It's a sporting reference.
Sporting reference. So
like Hail Mary or ball handler. Ball handler. God, by God, I was going to get that fucking reference in and get a laugh.
I know.
Good, get it in there.
So
you had a pitch hitter.
Yeah. Her name was Twin One, who was amazing and literally like got everything done over the course of a few days. Like we chatted about the story, art ideas. She couldn't wait to draw Puppy Dean. She said that was like her second choice out of the ones because she'd already drawn for something else. And I think she was even, she's a Destiel fan and she's a writer and an artist, a fan artist, digital artist. And I'm just amazed by those people that can do both. And she, I think, was already involved in a couple of other bangs that were going on and different things like that. But she was like, yeah, she couldn't wait to draw Puppy Dean. So we had some really good chats over Discord about the scene she wanted to draw in particular. She was even asking about like, you know, because it's basically the drawing is Dean, Puppy Dean sleeping. And it's in
the
apartment of the witch that he's working with. And he wanted like some more ideas about the room and like the vibe and like the colors I was thinking of. And I said, well, really like jewel tones and different things like that. I said, I just feel like it's be a very like rich and like almost like electric, you know, like you just feel like there's a lot of things to focus on and colors and all that kind of stuff that, you know, I felt would work. And yeah, they had to do a banner and like an image from one of the scenes. So the banner was in reference to sort of like the hex bag that had to get buried in the hoodoo. I can't even remember the hoodoo person and all that other stuff. So did that as the banner.
It's fucking cute.
And then that is it. And I was just, for me, after all of the work I'd done and then thinking I wasn't going to have anything, to have Twin One come in and just do such an amazing job with it. Just was like, it was a great way to end the challenge.
He's got little giant puppy paws because he's only a baby.
Yeah.
And big puppy ears. And it's so fucking cute. It is, oh my gosh, cute.
Yeah. And I think I was a little hesitant too because I wanted to do something sort of general because from what I was seeing, a lot of artists were like, you know, their favorite chips were like Sam and Dean or, you know, Dean and Cass. And I was just like, I don't know if offend is the right word, but like, I wanted somebody to feel like come in and do this thing. And it doesn't sort of like, you know, infringe on whatever ship you like, you know, like, I mean, it's like, it's just this little story about Dean that I was hoping people would gravitate for. And for her to have said, oh, that was definitely my second, like, I wanted to do this. Like that was really interesting to me. So to get to do it, to get to draw Puppy Dean, I was like, okay, well, so I think, really, when it comes to that, like you have to really come up with like a good hook. You know what I mean? Like something that'll really interest. And if you don't have that built in ship or pairing that you know is going to be maybe more popular up there, I think that was a lot of my hesitancy too. So all in all, it ended up being a really, really fun, great experience. And I'm so happy to now have something, you know, that has artwork that was collaborative, you know, as it was being worked on. So the experience was definitely worth it, I guess, overall. If I hadn't gotten art, I would have been a really sulky person. So I think they made sure not to let that happen, which was good. The mods did their job.
Yeah. No. So All props to the mods. And can I just say, obviously, Sandra was in the like actual bang, like the actual like behind the scenes with the mods and things like that. I got to read the story, and guys, I'm not exaggerating. It is the cutest fucking thing. There's like as there always is with our lovely Sandra. There's a lot more plot than you would expect from Dean gets turned into a puppy, because it's set like pre-pilot. So we get a lot of Dean feelings about Sam and how long it's been since they've seen each other and spoken, and Dean feelings about John and everything that's going on there. And it's, I think it would be real easy to just write Dean's a dog, blah, and just leave it. But it really, really humanizes Dean in this moment when he's
not human.
Yeah. But he's not only is he not human, he's real fucking unhappy about not being human, because he agreed to do this, but it was
there was an end date. It was supposed to be done, and it didn't happen when it needed to happen. Yeah,
and also like I guess here be spoilers if you haven't read it. Why haven't you read it, first of all? But he gets caught by the pound, or like the dog catcher or animal control or whatever you want. So he gets taken to the pound as well. So he was like, I was only supposed to be a dog for a shop, and he wasn't even supposed to be a beagle. He wanted to be a different dog, obviously.
Yeah,
so he was like, he was a little tiny puppy beagle, which he was mad about. This was supposed to stop and it didn't, and then he's in the fucking pound and he's like, he could not want to be a puppy less than he is. And also, and it's genuinely, like, the whole fic is great, but my favorite part about it is that because he's in the pound, he catches fleas and he has to have a bath. It's fucking great. It's absolutely, like, Sandra has written some incredible, incredible things. She really has. But this, it has to go down as one of my favorites, because if you have never seen a small puppy on tile floor, you're missing out on something crucial in your life, first of all. Because it's not the same as seeing a cat on tile floor, because puppies just have a tendency to just go swoop, like fucking, like literally like Bambi on ice. They'll just be sat all fine and then just a tiny little movement and it's swoop, all four paws out, just Bambiing on ice around. And it's the best. And Sandra described it so well, of like from the dog's perspective of trying to get all your feet in line, and every time you think you've got it, just flip. And everything goes again. And it's just, oh, it's so, so funny. And of course, because the female is a witch, she's not going to go out and buy Frontline for him and just be done. No, it's an extensive bath with various essential oils. And he's like, I don't want this. I don't want this. I don't want this. But he has no Dean voice. He's only can only bark like a dog. Yeah. So she keeps talking to him like he's people, and he's like, well, you're not even gonna stop even if I say no. And it's, oh my god, it's just like I'm quoting now. He'd starfished, even done a few Bambi on ice skating maneuvers. And then he finds a hairbrush and goes and fucking plays with it and like rubs his face on it. It's the bestest. And also I have to fucking find it now. So Sandra details the bath scene and it's great. And this is probably one of the best lines I've ever read in anything ever. She apologized for getting a little bit more intimate than Dean had expected with his little puppy prick and ass. Puppy prick is the best fucking phrase, and I need to work that into something. I was howling when I read that, because you just don't expect a bath to go there, do you? Like, you have to wash a dog's ass, and it's like it's genitals, but like you never think about how that must feel for the dog. Yeah. That must be very violating for the dog.
Yeah. So I think in the end too, it was just, I wanted it to be fun, but then I wanted it to sort of like lean into the fact that Dean has no choice but to give in a little bit. And I think that you kind of realize, oh, he really does need, he's touch starved, you know, the thing we always talk about. And he likes the attention after a while, and he likes being pampered, and he doesn't like really like, when has he ever gotten that?
Yeah.
After, that's, you know,
that's a real big, happened. That is a real big, like, you know, it's funny. That's funny. But there is this real sense that the female in the story, but also the author, obviously, I know Sandra, but that the author cares for mm-hmm. Dean and they want to give him this moment. Like I said, it's set pre-pilot. Mm-hmm. So it's in that kind of weird area where we all go, ah, oh, Dean was probably a mess, but we're not exactly sure to what extent. You mm-hmm. know, like, was he drinking a fifth a night, or was yeah. he kind of holding it together? Like, we don't know. And it's just, you really get the sense yeah. that, you know, we know that Sandra loves Dean. We know that Sandra cares about Dean, but you, when you read this, you really get the sense that it is almost a gift from Sandra as the author to Dean of, I know you couldn't accept this care in any other way, so I give it to you like this. Because after the utter indignity of the bath, which it is, but it's so fucking funny. It's so funny. But after that, there's like this real, you know, like just petting as you would just pet a puppy, yeah. a dog.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so cute.
Yeah.
It's...
And I think we all like, you know, I mean, I know there's always the thing, like, you know, I used to, with my cat, I used to be like, you know, I just wish I had your life, you know, where I could just, like, you know, all my needs would be taken care of and I could do whatever I want, lounge around and, you know, be a big old baby and you would still love me, take care of me, do all the things because, mm-hmm. you know, I'm yours, you know, and you're mine in that kind of a situation. And I kind of, yeah, with Dean, I just feel like his front would never let him. And if he has no choice, then he can lean into it. And he can always say, you know, it wasn't necessarily like, you know, who's to say or whatever. So I think that kind of was always floating in my mind with that particular, when I just put that in that other story, I was like, well, you know, what would that have looked like? What would have happened there? So it was fun. It was a fun, and then, you know, digging into other things in it. So, and again, it's not very long. It's literally over 5,000 words. Cause I was like, I don't want this to be a big thing. Mm-hmm. And I even like had a hard time. Like, I was like, I need to make sure I get this to 5,000. And then I was able to like get over the hump of it. Cause I'm like, am I going to be able to get it over? So I had to like, you know, fill in a couple of scenes, a couple of dialogue stuff, and kind of, I think, bring it back to Dean and Selena and stuff, and kind of hint at the fact that maybe they would have done something back then, but John, you know, of course, mm-hmm. comes into John. Play, you know,
yeah,
cock blocked it and not puppy pricked it. I blocked it at that point.
Yeah, so but like before this moment, yeah, not while Dean is a dog. We want to make that very fucking clear. He's underage. He's a puppy, first of all.
So it was, it was fun. It was a fun experience. I really enjoyed writing that. I would like, I just know those things don't really, they don't get a lot of hits, you know, like general stuff or even teen stuff. It's just, you don't usually get a lot of hits from that stuff, but it was fun to write and I've gotten good feedback from it. So I am glad people enjoyed it mm-hmm. that much.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's so good, guys. It's so good. You should Aww. Like, if you haven't read it, go read it like right now, like pause it. We'll wait. Go read it now. It's great. It's great. And I'm real glad that I know there were some, like, you know, bumps along the road for your bang experience, but mm-hmm. I'm really glad it worked out in the end. I think that's one of the things that puts me off is, you know, how like we never really grow out of high school being mm-hmm. picked last for gym class.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, what if nobody picks me?
I was really worried about that. I really was. Cause I was like, this is so different than, cause I was looking at the claim summaries. I'm like, this is so different than everything else that was being, I was like, oh, I'm like, yeah. I really didn't think I was going to get one. You know, I was just like, are there even enough artists? Am I going to be able yeah. to do this? You know, but you know, again, it ended up working out the way that it did for the reason that it did. But yeah, I kind of had that, like, I'm in dodgeball, like I'm getting picked and I'm the last one, you know, in dodgeball. So I was like, yeah, I was like, I was getting those vibes. I was like, oh, am I going to be the last one picked? But
that fear never stops. And apparently being picked for teams doesn't end when you leave high school.
Yeah. Either. I mean, I think it's good that it was, you know, it's done anonymously. So like, you don't know, you know, who's written what, like when you put your claims up, like they don't say, you know, this story is by.
Good.
So that kind of, I think, levels the playing field a little bit.
But moving on from big bangs, mini bangs,
another
reverse bangs. Moving on from the world of bangs. Tragic. We're all very sad. We're moving on to bingos, which is not a game that your grandma plays anymore. I mean, it probably still is. Like, my grandma played bingo.
Mm-hmm.
Bingos, not just for your nan anymore. We were like, numbers, boring. Sex, yes. Sandra, right. In addition to doing a big mini bang, whatever, story, okay? She also signed up for a supernatural bingo. There is another wiki page on that. It's a little bit outdated as per Sandra's notes here.
Yeah, but, and it's actually from the fandom. Yeah, there's the fandom supernatural.
Oh, the fandom yeah, wiki. I just saw wiki, and yeah. I was like, oh, yeah, it's the fandom wiki, not the supernatural wiki.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's got a bunch of listings of, I think it goes up to like 2020 or whatever. And wow. But yeah, so it shows some different bingo pages and stuff that, you know, different focus characters, ships, mm-hmm. pairings and stuff like that that they can.
But the bingo. Yeah, the general premise is the same in that you get a bingo card, and when you fill one of the squares, you mark it off. But I don't think you get anything if you get like a line or like a full house. I think it's just called bingo because of the card, maybe.
Yeah, I think it's just bingo because of the card. And I mean, I know that there's, you know, there's definitely like, well, again, like celebrations within like the little mini community that gets formed, you know, congratulating and stuff like that. But yeah, it's mm-hmm. just about.
No one drops in with $1,000 if you get a full house.
No. And I just kind of think of it as, you know, you're in charge of what the prompt is that gets called. You know what I mean? Like you decide which square you're going to fill, you know?
So really, when you break it down, it's not a lot like real bingo at all because you decide.
It's reverse. You're the caller. You're the caller and the writer.
And the player. But yeah. Because you get the card. Mm-hmm. And in some bingos, I think you maybe all bingos, but in some bingos, you get to say, I don't want any prompts with this. Mm-hmm. So you get to influence the numbers, quote unquote, the prompts that you get on your card. And then you decide what order to fill them out in,
mm-hmm.
what's going to happen in there. It's not a great deal like real people bingo, but we're just going to go with it anyway.
Well, because I think it gives you options and possibilities and ways of getting bingo. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's not super cut and dry. Like you could definitely like go, okay. I mean, I'm assuming some people could do it this way. They could go, I'm just going to try to fill out the whole top row. You know, maybe they might decide in their eyes that we're going to go straight across, you know, or whatever. So it gives you a little more control over how you're going to fill it.
So Sandra, which bingo did you sign up for?
It was called Jackals Verse Bingo.
Not Dean. Color me shocked.
Well, they didn't have one. If they'd had they one, didn't I have a signed Dean. Up for it.
We couldn't find a Dean. We had to go for the next best thing.
Yeah. So Kim, who's known as Winchester Witch on AO3, is actually the person behind this particular bingo.
We have had Kim on the podcast.
Yeah. Her interview, again, like if I don't fuck with the episode rollout, her interview will have gone live probably about a month before this episode. So we'll link it in the description so you can listen to all the behind the scenes details and the inception, all the things. It's amazing what she's done with it.
When is this episode going out?
I think this one's going to go out in sometime in end of February, early March.
Oh yeah, I found it. Yeah, Kim's episode will be live by now. And I'll link it. We'll link it in the description and the rest of the stuff because so I think you were doing the bingo when you reached out to Kim, weren't you?
Yeah, because the stars aligned. Again, that story's in there where, you know, once I had started to work through the process of it, I was like, I'd really like to talk to the person that's, you know, put this together. You know, now that I've actually like in there, I was like, well, maybe I can ask and maybe they might be interested. So it's a whole thing. You have to listen to the episode to hear how that came about. But I signed up sometime, I think it was early September of last year. And again, stars aligned. I was about trying all sorts of weird stuff. That's when I signed up for the Dean Winchester Big Bang. So
would you consider this your midlife crisis?
Maybe this is my midlife fan fiction crisis. Maybe that's
it. Could be a regular crisis. You don't have to go out and buy a new car. But I'm just like, when you're like, the shit just aligned and I just decided, fuck it. I'm like, Maybe it's just some kind of breakdown.
I think so. I think
a positive breakdown, though. But it works out well.
I still think everybody's on their own path of when they find themselves. And I think turning a certain age sometimes for people kind of gets you to reflect more. And being that I was right before turning 50, I think the past really good 5 or 10 years, I think for me, have been sort of like a midlife crisis. Like I feel like I'm coming into my own as a person and understanding more about myself and what I want to do, what I want to try, and not limiting myself. So maybe that's where it's all coming out to, and just trying new things and embracing the fear as not necessarily a negative, because sometimes that can be a big thing, like just embracing it as a part of the process. And so I think that's kind of what's going on in my head too, for a lot of things. So yeah, I go ahead.
Sorry. No, I am. This is a meme that goes around quite frequently. I'm not sure which part of my life is the middle. So I have decided to have an ongoing crisis.
Mm-hmm. Because I think that's true. I don't think anybody has a midlife crisis. I think everybody's always. I don't think
anybody does that anymore.
No. Or I think it's an easy spot to point at, just like we were talking about in another episode about like someone's adolescence and sexuality, learning about yourself. You're like, that never ends, right? Like, and but I think there are specific points that are easy to just point at and go, oh, at this point in time, this is happening to you, or you're, you know, maybe getting ready to transition out of job, work life, or you're the generation that's in charge now, quote unquote. And, you know, this is what's happening. And then you're moving into the next phase and the next phase. And it's just, I don't think I really started living, which sounds really sad to say, but I don't think I really started living with myself and understanding myself until I hit my 30s. I really gave myself the chance to be okay with every aspect of myself, and still not always being okay with it, but understanding that at the end of the day, I'm just human, you know, and I'm going to make mistakes, and it doesn't mean I'm doing them intentionally, but it's just a thing. It's how you learn. It's how you grow. You don't succeed unless you fail, that kind of thing. You know, like all of those things that I was just like, you know, I'm not going to know if I don't try. So I think that's kind of where, within reason, of course, like I'm not going to jump out of an airplane, you know, like I'm not, there's certain things I'm just not going to do, but There's small things for me that may not be a big thing for another person, but for me, it's like climbing Mount Everest in a certain way. Like certain things that I do have a lot of weight to my overall experience and what I'm trying. So yeah, I'm glad that I'm just going to constantly be going through this, honestly. Like I feel like it's a good way to just learn more about myself and just try and see what works and what doesn't. So yeah.
I love that for you. I love that for you. I'm a millennial. I was never meant to hit 30. I was supposed to die beautiful and tragically young. And now I'm here going, This is never in the game plan. What the fuck?
Yeah, you know? I don't even know what Gen X is supposed to mean anymore, because I'm still like, you know, I'm so like.
No, you're like the forgotten generation, aren't you? Nobody, this goes like boomers and millennials, and you guys are in the middle going, hi, we exist. What the fuck?
We're here. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if I ever expected to hit 21, to be fair. And this is another thing where I'm like, I think this is a funny story. And everyone goes, oh, you know, I have a lot of experience in telling these kind of stories. But no, I don't think I ever expected to hit 21, much less 30. And I'm going to be 33 this year. Mm-hmm. So I don't, like, if I was going to have a quote unquote midlife crisis, I would have been like 10, which is, every year that goes by, I'm like, I wasn't supposed to live this long. What the fuck? Yeah. Well, so I can't say this is my midlife and this is my crisis. I'm just like, I have an ongoing crisis that I'm just trying to, it's not like something I can haul myself out of. I think I get better at dealing with things.
Right.
And then life gets better at handing me trash. So then I get better at dealing with things. And like, objectively, it's a journey of growth. But in the trenches, it's just the same bullshit.
Right.
But if I was able to step away, I would go, you've come a long way, you know?
Yeah, you have. And I think it's resilience too. And I think some people learned that or have that ability to keep getting up. And sometimes you can't, right? Sometimes you're just tired and you just don't want to. And you have to get yourself to a point where you give yourself the grace and the time to get yourself back on track and try again and try again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to just lay at the bottom of the stairs and just go, oh, fuck. A therapist described that, but she didn't describe it to me quite like that. She was like, it's like you've been kicked down the stairs and things kept happening while you were falling. And now you're laying at the bottom going, oh my God, what was that? Yeah. You just need to lay there and breathe for a minute before. Don't even try and get up. Just lay there and breathe.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I think that, you know, especially for the boys, I think I always feel like their crisis, their stuff, like there's always a chance that, you know, they get their moment to just stop, breathe and try something different. And, you know, whatever their fear is beyond the monsters and, you know, the end of the world, then they get a chance to deal with it and process it. So that's what I always say. Dean's a work in progress too, you know, and always. It's just always.
Most of us are, to be fair. Yeah. If you think you're done, you're wrong.
You're wrong. Yeah. You're wrong. All that to say.
Wait, where did we even go?
Because
I had a moment. Yeah. I had a moment. I tried some shit. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I filled out the form. Again, I think it was a Google form. Yeah. Bingo, contact details, you had the number of squares you wanted for your bingo card. Again,
Sandra is an overachiever.
Yeah. They you could have like 3x3, which was 9 squares, but I was like, no, give me the 5x5, 25. So I don't know. Maybe I was hoping to get a lot of variety. But what I liked about this, and again, I don't have enough experience with other things to know how this is shaped. So I'm assuming it's similar, but Kim in the form also asked, you know, are there certain prompts you'd like? Are there others you wouldn't want? And I know you're going to get on me about this probably, Casey, but like, I remember specifically mentioning, I didn't want any song lyric prompts. I was pretty much open to everything else. And
the pause that you left there for me to jump in and go, what?
Well, no, because I think you write a lot of the stuff because I guess I felt I'd be too, in my brain, I would pigeonhole myself too much and maybe focus more on the actual like song lyric than going beyond it, I think, in my head.
Okay.
And I know you use songs and lyrics a lot for, you know, your writing and they give you this inspiration and stuff. And I can say I listen to sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. It's weird the way I write, but sometimes I'll listen to certain music as I'm writing to get myself into that mode. I don't do that as much with my fan fiction. I don't know why that is. I do that more with my original stuff, you know?
I actually, it depends what I'm writing. Because I have song lyric, like song fix and song lyric fix that I never listened to once while I was writing because I know the song so well. Like Save a Horse, the lyrics to that are from Masculine by Meatloaf. And I never listened to it once while I was writing it because I didn't need to. I know the song inside out and backwards.
Yeah.
Whereas, especially when I was writing early Junkies, back when I thought it was just going to be a one shot, and I could just take the chorus from Slipknot's Virus of Life. I listened to that song a lot, and I listened to Slipknot a lot when I was writing the early Junkies. When it's angry and it's harsh and there's hatred. Just because that was like the right kind of vibe for it.
Yeah.
But I can have a song fic and never actually have to listen to the music if the songs I write inspired by tend to be songs that have had a place in my soul for a long time. I don't tend to hear something and go, oh my God.
Yeah.
You know, the one exception to that is Quarter After One. That just struck a nerve for whatever reason. And I was like, oh my God, I have to write this immediately. So I listen to that a lot to like make sure I'm staying in the vibe of it, you know? But yeah, no, that's interesting. So you don't listen to tunes when you fanfic?
No. I might start, like maybe that might be a thing that I might try if I ever do another one of these.
That's going to be our next prompt. We've done a word count challenge.
No, you've already put us into Christmas.
What?
We've already promised that we do something Christmassy fic related, right? You don't even remember.
No. Did you make a note of it?
Listen to our Christmas episode and you will hear about it. So we've already got something that we're supposed
to
be doing.
We can have two things on the list.
Oh, great.
One thing does not a list make. They don't have to be done tomorrow.
The one thing that I did that I did listen to was when I did my Santa fic exchange story, because I listened to the Eartha Kitt version.
Now, did you listen to that for the actual lyrics so you could or just to get like the vibe of
Eartha, because again in the story, the readers, you know, playing that to Dean as she's kind of doing a little like, you know, flirty, what she's doing with her outfit. So I really kind of wanted to get the feel of the song and Eartha's voice to kind of like, you know, how would she play into that kind of, so that literally was because it was a lyric in the song where I was like, oh, I can call it this. I was like, shit, I'm doing that thing. So I did it for that, but I didn't necessarily use it, I guess, for vibe as much, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was like, it was necessary. Yeah. So
no song lyrics. Sandra does not. And that's cool. Not everybody does. I'm a very musically inclined person.
We were given that option too. Cause I'd seen it and I was like, oh, I'm like, I don't think I want like three or four prompts with song lyrics in them. I said, that would probably just like, I'd shut down probably for a while, you know, just even trying to come up with. Mm-hmm. I would avoid them. You know, there's certain things that I was like, I would really not probably do. The bingo was ACLs focused, which means you could write RPF or about any character Jensen has played. So Jensen Orr's character had to be the main focus in the story. So even though I don't really, like I said, I've only written the one RPF, I just felt like this is my jam. I could do this. Like I also liked that it was going to push me to write about a character other than Dean. Because if you've been listening to this podcast, you know where I laser focus. So I got my card and I started to panic. Not that it wasn't an awesome list of prompts, because Kim really did, listen to her interview. She took
so
time
much work in
to do this, to make sure each one was personalized. Even if she didn't know the person, because again, like, I didn't know who she was. But if she didn't know you, she kind of like, she did some investigating and she really, I think, kind of took the time to make it something that you wouldn't be like, oh, I don't like any of these things. And I think you also get the option to switch out some prompts or stuff if you wanted to. I just figured I have what I have. I'll do what I want to do with it. For me, it was just that there was a reality that, okay, I've signed up for a challenge that had a specific, you know, amount of things that had to be completed and a deadline to it. Granted, the deadline is very often to the future. It's a full year when you started to when you finish. So I don't think the master list has to get posted with all of the squares filled until like September of 2024.
I was going to ask though, like, if you don't, there's no like, there's no punishment. You don't get in trouble if you don't complete your bingo card, do you?
No, absolutely not. It's really just more for like, I think, creativity and community and stuff, which is really, really good. So for this bingo, there is a requirement that you join the Discord, which is, it's not like you have to even like super participate. Like, I'm in lurker mode primarily. One of the things is you have to submit, you know, if you have any questions, you know, you can message Kim or, you know, think out ideas, and there's like a think tank, and, you know, like, they've got beta options, different things like that. You have to post your finished work in Discord so that then, you know, it also needs to get posted, you know, that way it's sort of like cross-referencing or making sure something's in one place, you know, because you can also post it on Tumblr, AO3, but it had to be, I think, Discord, just to make it easy that something's going somewhere. It's in one actual place for Kim to get to, because Kim literally reads through every single one, comments, does all of the great things on it, you know, so it can be reblogged on Tumblr.
I don't know if like you've picked up on this, but we think Kim is a fucking legend.
Yes.
And ditto, like, that also applies to like Ash and Amy, who run SPM Masquerade, like anybody who runs like a bang or a bingo or like a collective, like the Masquerade, you're fucking legends. Like, how do you find time to do this? Jesus.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And also, Kim is like lovely. Real talk. Kim is lovely. So are Ash and Amy, by the way.
Yes.
We have episodes on them, but no, like, specifically, Kim is lovely.
Yes.
Very nice.
Yes.
Very
nice lady. And wants a lot of preparation in advance, which I think is also great. Does her homework and stuff.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I liked about it, about having to go on the Discord and reviewing, because once I looked at my stuff, I was like, ugh. I wanted to know if I could use one of the prompts for a fill for an ongoing series. So not that I wanted to like retcon sort of the prompt to go back into something that already been completed, but I had, again, we're going back to Wash, this never ending thing. But I was like, oh, what if I might want to use this idea in the story, but maybe this makes the most sense now. I break it up into sort of like a series with parts. So I asked Kim, okay, before I knew it was Kim, if I could do that. And Kim gave me the thumbs up and said, you know, writing's hard enough. You know, I get it. If you can use this for a story you're working on, feel free to do that. Just make sure, you know, in that one part, you tag it with, you know, Jackals versus Bingo and you reblog and do all the things. So it also had me, I used a couple of the prompts to write a Bo Arlen from Big Sky, which I'd never thought I would do. And it's very cute. It's fluffy. There's no smut. But
smut has been requested, in case anybody worried, like, I died requested or anything.
At some point, it will come, I think.
I think you called it like After
you
Dark.
You did Big Sky After Dark, is what you said, which I thought was great, which I think I'll use. I'll use that for the title. I think that'd be
Big
really
Sky
great.
After Dark.
But
it was one of the very few times Sandra didn't write porn and didn't have me in her DMs going, what the fuck is this? Because it was like, is nice.
It was needed too, right? Like, cute. It just felt necessary at the time. There was a lot of stuff going on with me too at that time. Ted and his COVID thing, and me like sequestered into a different bedroom, and I was just like, oh my god! I'm like,
I do think I wrote on the last installment. I was late reading it, and I was like, I didn't know I needed this morning. It was like a Monday morning at work. It's like, I didn't know that I needed this morning, but I fucking did. Mm-hmm. So thank you. Fucking cute.
But I will say that the story we were talking about, Don't Hurry Down the Chimney Tonight, I kind of, because I signed up for a Sanific exchange, and with this bingo, you can participate in other things. Like, you can bounce back and forth and use this with another challenge or whatever. So I said, okay, I've got the Secret Santa, and I decided to fill one of my squares with that.
Unstoppable in 2023. She's like, I'm signing up for all the things.
And I asked you and Dreamer, you know, can you guys please help me with edging? I need some instruction.
I'll make a kinkster out of you. Yeah, don't worry about it.
They got into the document, and both were like, they came up with so many great ideas. I'm like, okay, I'm definitely going to use some of these. This is good. Great. Thank you. So I felt like I was unstoppable in 2023. And of course, how many things have I written on the bingo in 2024? Zero, but
shut up. It's been like, it's been 27 days.
Still. So at time of recording, I filled 5 squares on my bingo card with my 6th, which is part of the Wash though one. I have not technically like posted it because I want to be done with the part before I say this is completed my bingo square. You know what I mean? Like it's the whole thing of rinse has to be done before I'm going to like add it to the Discord and then put it on Tumblr, you know, with the tags and everything, because it's not done. So even though the theme is throughout this one particular part, it's not. Do you want to know which squares I filled? Let me see. Let me pull up my shit.
Yes, always.
Find it. Okay, so I filled out. So for the Bo Arlen series, which was Guardian of the Gulch,
which is a disgusting word, by the way. Every time I read that, that upset me, because that's not a thing that you call anything that's gross.
So I filled out Food as Bonding, Fire and Firelight, an Anonymous Gift / Flowers. And I've done I did a short little second part to Factory Reset called Hard Boot. And it was the dialogue tag Admit It that I had to put in there. And then I did edging for Don't Hurry Down the Chimney Tonight. That, of course, is Dean. And then the Friends Becoming Strangers square will be finished I've completed the rinse.
Yeah.
rinse part. So,
so it's you know, it's not the same kind of thing. It's quite diverse in terms of the prompts that you get.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of what I'm picking up from that.
And there's a lot. There's some in there. I think have I told you? So there's okay.
No, I have not seen the bingo card.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not allowed.
Well, I can show it to you.
No, I'm teasing. I know that you can. You just haven't.
Okay.
So Sandra's 5x5 because why did she pick a 5x5? We don't know. So she's got Ice Play, 1960s. A Last Desperate I Love You. Fake Enemies. Dangerous Suggestion. Bound Together. Choreographer AU, which we had a lot of thoughts about, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Yeah. When we first got this. Friends Becoming Strangers, which has a stamp on it. Online Romance. Wump.
Oh. Tell me what Wump is. What is Wump?
Like.
It's like when you want to hurt your character.
Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
It's like when bad things keep making bad things happen. So you go, what I am doing to Sam in Junkies is aggressive Wump.
Okay. Gotcha.
And you can have like.
You can tell I don't do this often, or if I do, I don't realize I'm doing it. But I think I do it. I just don't know what it's called. Yeah.
You can have Wump that you like fix and make it okay. And you can have Wump that is just tragic and sad. Mm-hmm. You know? So then we've got hair pulling. Are you gonna want this back, or can I keep right? If you don't use that for wash, you're wasting it.
Yeah, personally. No, I know. That's gonna be for repeat.
Are you going to want this back, or can I keep it? Free Space, Edging, which has a stamp on it, obviously. Hand Kink. Oh, damn, you've already written one of those.
I know, which is great. I was like, God damn it. I'm like, five damn, finger
you're
discount.
You're going to have to.
I'm going
to
flip it. I'm going to have Dean have the Hand Kink for the, or somebody else have the Hand Kink.
Please make it a male. Please make it a male. Please make it male. Wait, no, can you have a male?
I don't know.
Exclusively
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I've got to double check. I've got to double check on that.
I'll allow you to have a female, but I'm just saying that would be
but
a great
place to
have
that
blowjob.
But that was what I was
going to
do. I was going to flip it and have Hand Kink be.
Yes.
You know, Dean's got something for a female hand.
Yes.
Or whatever. So we got that.
So then we've got Admit It, which is Hard Boot. Fire and Firelight, which is part of the Boat Island thing. Anonymous Gifts / Flowers, which is also part of the Boat Island thing. They have a twin.
Ooh.
See, my brain is going in filthy ideas, but Sandra will probably write something real sweet for all of these. Horror AU.
Yeah.
Well,
that's really going to be.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
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 Mirror Sex. Oh, that's easy. You just have Dean jerk off. That's real easy. Food is Bonding, which is also part of the Bow trilogy. Mm-hmm. Pirate AU. One is mind controlled and forced to fight the other. Look, there's your Wincest calling right there.
Wincest calling.
And then the final square is Pen Pal, which is similar but not quite the same as Online Romance.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. You could maybe put both of those in one, like two chapters. We've gone through the thing. But what I actually wanted to touch on is Sandra's like notes here. She's put that even if she can't fill in all those squares, and some of them would be like horror AU.
Mm-hmm.
I would struggle with that. Pirate AU equally struggle with that.
Yeah.
Online Romance and Pen Pal, they're very similar. I think my brain would struggle to make a distinction between them. Like it's a great set of prompts, very, mm-hmm. very diverse. But you mm-hmm. know, when you're just like, oh shit, I don't have an idea for that.
Yeah.
Like as I was reading them, I was having ideas for some of them, but some of them I was like, damn. But Sandra is aware that it is widening her usually laser-focused Dean writing.
Mm.
And she's thinking about stories that might include Soldier Boy or Priestley from 10 Inch Hero. And this is where I had questions.
Mm-hmm.
Because your characterization of Dean is quite soft, shall we say. You don't particularly characterize him as a hard-ass, which is fine. I love your characterization of Dean. And Beau comes across in a
very,
very similar vein. Even
he is similar.
Even softer than Dean, it appears to
very
me. I haven't seen the show, but that is how it appears. So I'm real curious what you would do with an absolute hard-ass wanker.
I don't know.
Like Soldier Boy. What are you going to soften him? Are you going to do something with Crimson Countess?
I don't think I can. I don't think that would go with the character, so...
I can't remember. I think we might have been talking to Kim about it, but I can't remember if it made the episode. But we were talking about the choreographer, AU. And I was like, you could be the one tasked with, like, you could, it could be a reader insert tasked with teaching Soldier Boy how to dance for that, what a gold star, whatever the fuck it was that he did with all the dancers. That would be fun. That would be, and I think it was the only, you'd gone Priestly, I think. Yeah. And I was like, oh, but you could do this with Soldier Boy.
Yeah.
And now, but now Priestly is another enigma. And I will admit, I have not seen 10 Inch Hero because Amazon want a disgusting amount of money for the digital version of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm going to pay a disgusting amount of money, I'm going to have the physical fucking copy of it. So yeah. I'm building up to it. So I haven't seen it. And also, I've been told by various people that the ending kind of sucks. Also,
I don't like the ending of it, but I do like the character. I've only watched it once, so I really feel like I'd have to watch it again, you know, at least for his take on that character.
And every time, I love Priestly. If nobody has twigged by now that I'm like on the alternative fashion spectrum and things, I've multicolored hair. He wears eyeliner, but all I want to do is take that lip piercing that's in the wrong place and fix it.
Mm-hmm.
But apart from that,
when I write it, I'll make sure it's in the right place when I do that.
Yeah,
but yeah.
But all I see,
he's going to be choreographer. That's what I was thinking of. Priestly.
Oh no! Yeah. See, I, my interpretation of Priestly, and you've got to bear in mind, this is just going from like tiny little clips I've seen and GIFs with a G. You know, and like, cause I'm not going to stop that now until you fucking stop calling it a GIF. That is a brand of cleaner. is that he would be like, he would need like a hard, dom woman. Like that is what he would be into. Like, I don't want to go so far as to call it like mommy kink, but like mummy kink. Like that just, I don't know. He's so young.
Uh-huh.
And that makes me more comfortable than thinking about him hooking up with, like, you know, high schoolers and stuff, which is like the age that he would have been. I don't know if we ever get to find out how old Priestly is, but Jensen is young in that movie. So I don't know. My instinct, that is in like my author instinct, says, oh no, he needs a mommy. He's got a mommy kink a mile wide. And that's how I would want to write it. So I'm real fucking curious what, like, because these are like, I mean, you could probably make Priestly soft and sweet, like, you know.
I feel like he would be softer and sweeter. Like he,
I just
again,
kind of see him like what, not like a sugar baby, but like, what is it when you like? I can't think. It's
like a cougar situation.
Yeah, that's how I see it. Like he's like he wants to be someone's little pet, you know.
Okay.
Just wants a mommy to come and take care of him and pay his bills. And he'll just be the arm candy. Maybe that's the word I was looking for.
Oh, goodness.
That's how I see the character. And again, this is with the full proviso that I have not seen the movie. But he just has that such like try-hard, like braggadocious attitude from what I've seen that I'm like, oh no, you're a freak. No.
I really feel like he's just like, again, like he reminds me. I feel like he's very much in line with like Dean. Bo, like, you know,
no.
The sweetheart under the under it.
No, oh man, we've gone different ways. I fully look at him and I'm like, oh my god, you're a freak. You are 100% a freak. I'm so here for it. And like, freak, you know, affectionate, not freak derogatory.
Mm-hmm.
So we're gonna end up with soft and sweet Dean, soft and sweet Bo, potentially soft and sweet Priestly, but what are we gonna do?
I don't know. I just know 1960s is calling out to me because I love the fact that you could put him in that time period.
Yeah.
I just don't know what to do with
him. Oh, you could put him in a real smart suit as well.
But I mean, just the fact that, you know, yeah, I feel like I want to, like, I don't know, maybe I need to watch some shows that are kind of from that era and see what I could do with Soldier Boy.
I still maintain you should have a reader that is like a VAR employee who is terrified that is, you know, has been brought on by VAR that is going to have to teach him to dance. And he's all like, I know how to dance. I don't even remember. You know, that's where my brain wants to go there. I wouldn't have the foggiest fucking clue how to start writing it.
I don't know.
But
either.
That's where my brain wants to go.
And I don't even know what I would do with Priestley. I just know that for some reason, I just thought of him.
Give him a mommy. That's what he needs. He needs to be someone's good boy. That's what he needs.
Oh my God. Again, this is going to be, I think, a good test of, can I get out of the idea of just making everybody sweet and soft? So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Who knows? I might just end up, it's all going to be Dean.
It's all going to be Dean. I think though you branched out and then like three bows. Mm-hmm. So if you did want to fall back on Dean, like you could.
I know most of these will be Dean, but there's some that I just don't, I don't know how to, like, I don't want to put him in certain ones. I just feel like something mm-hmm. else has to happen.
No, I get it. We'll I'm just see. Saying like there are options. That's mm-hmm. he can do other blah, blah, blah. He can do other things.
Yeah.
He can pull other characters. I mean, or you could just give Priestley the cougar that he needs in his life.
I'll think so about it.
That is the closest to fuck off I ever get from Sandra. I'll think about it. Yeah, maybe. Think about it.
No, sometimes I might. You never know. Sometimes I do think about your things. I'm like, okay, let's try. Let's sometimes. Try. It. Sometimes, not all the time.
When have you ever thought of and then acted on one of my stupid ideas?
I'm sure there are plenty of times. I just can't think of them right now.
Yeah, fucking loads. Can't think of any right now, but it's fucking loads. So if you have any ideas about how our lovely, sweet author, Sandra, who loves writing sweet Dean.
That I want to strangle right now.
Could deal with a hard-ass, like, soldier boy. Or even how she could make him sweet.
No,
can we make Soldier Boy sweet?
I don't think so. Oh God!
I love the character, like mm-hmm. hands down. I think yeah. Soldier Boy is incredible, but
yeah,
what nice?
No, no, not at all.
Not even. See now my brain would want to write something that was like Soldier Boy Homelander, because you know incest is kind of my jam.
Mm.
Not usually parent child incest, I must admit, but. You know, once you step into the Winceth camp, you start seeing it everywhere. Is my point.
I will say, I think that one, it's a fic that BJ wrote about Soldier Boy. I think it really works.
She's done some awesome BJ. She's done some awesome Soldier Boy fics.
I think it really BJ. Works on making him the most humane, but still not like just skirts close to it. But you still don't kind of you don't kind of break through. Yeah. All the way, but it's a really good one. I can't think of the name of it now, but I was blown away by the way she wrote
link
it
in the description.
And I'll put it in there. But yeah, so there's some people that would, I think, be able to do that way better, and have done it way better for that part of it. But yeah, we'll see.
Nah, see, I would. Oh, there's quite a few pairings. Like I'm like Soldier Boy Homelander, Soldier Boy Huey, I think. Would be quite interesting. But also, Soldier Boy Maeve, I think, would be really interesting to do. Because
mm-hmm.
she takes no shit either.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would be really interesting to explore. No, actually, out of the three of them, that's the one that grabs me the most. And as we know, I very rarely write het fix anymore. But that one, I'll leave it with you, Sandra. That's
great. Thanks.
You don't have to write it. You could make them all Dean from now on. Like this was, you know, you could have done them all Dean to start with. You were like, I'm going to challenge myself. So yeah, I'm just proffering ideas.
I know. And I'm still.
And you can reject all of them and I will not be upset. No, I'm being deathly serious. Like if you decide to choose none of the things I've just outlined, like I'm not going to be like, Sandra, oh my God, you didn't even pick my idea. Priestley's such a fucking bottom. What is wrong with you? Like seriously. But she'd be like, this is how I see it, but that's not necessarily how you see it. It's fine. Priestley is a bottom. What the fuck does Maeve say to Huey? Something like raw dog me or something like that. Like that is what I see Priestley as. Such a baby.
Well, can he be a sweet raw dog or whatever?
Raw dog me.
Go inside.
Oh my God. Let me just, we'll cut this out. It's like you're wearing a neon sign that says raw dog me, I'm a bottom. That's what she says to him. That's what I see Priestley as. That is, and yeah, bottoms can be sweet and soft, and
maybe he could wear a t-shirt that says
that would be awesome if he turns up to the shop in that t-shirt. Oh, yeah. Oh my God.
He's worn Yeah.
One worse. Yep. See, and then you could have.
I'm writing this down.
I'm looking at Priestley now just to make sure I haven't misinterpreted. I sell a crack for the CIA. Yeah, you could totally. What does that say? Save a tree, eat a beaver. He would totally wear a shirt that says raw dog me, I'm a bottom. Tip me or die. That lip piercing. It's
don't
driving.
Look at it.
I can't because I'm looking at pictures of him. And now it. I'm like,
Oh, gosh.
No, see, you know what? Now I'm actually looking at it. Orgasm donor. Come on now. You can 100% put him in a t-shirt that says raw dog me, I'm a bottom.
Oh, God.
Oh, surf naked. Oh no, I'm just let me just analyze this a little bit. Just analyze this a little bit more. Because I see this was filmed in 2005. So I see a lot of baby Dean in him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I'm not gonna lie, I'm struggling to get past that even with the hair and the tattoos.
Mm.
Some kind of he's just a baby. It's all front. He's just a baby. What's this now? Code Blue, hostile territory. His hairstyles are ridiculous as well. Yeah, no. See, you could have your female be someone that's come to work at the shop, and he turns up with that t-shirt on.
Well, there's a whole plot in there with like online romance stuff. So maybe I use that, but I use that for Priestley. And there's raw dog me, I'm a bottom in the shirt. We just go to town from there. We'll see.
Yeah. See, I'm fully on board with that. Look at me just putting ideas in your head.
There you go.
I keep seeing this picture of him in a blue shirt with flat natural hair. And I'm assuming that's the ending when they quote unquote fix him.
Yeah, I hate that. That's so stupid.
It's sad. I don't like that. What else have we got? You can read. Cats, the other one ate me. Oh my God, that's great. It's sorry, season. Shoot them at will. No one knows I'm a lesbian. He would totally wear a raw dog me on the bottom shirt. What was that other one? Oh God, there's just so many compilations of his shirts.
Yes. Yeah, it's surprising because I don't remember so many scenes that he could possibly have like had.
But warm all those shirts. Yeah. You know what your problem is? You're stupid. Tip me or die. Surf naked. I sell crack. Oh, apparently the orgasm donor has something on the back of it. Nah, he just. So I'm not going to. I am still struggling to see past the baby Dean face.
Mm-hmm.
But you're vegetarian because you love animals. I hate plants. Look, this is a direct quote. Why don't women take advantage of me? Look at him. He's a baby who needs a mom to fix him or treat him like a little pet. And he's all pretending to be badass with his eyeliner and his nail polish. And he's a little
just a front.
Squeaky baby.
It's just a front. Again, it's just a front. So, okay, we need to wrap this up.
Well, yeah, no, you, Sandra has closing thoughts. So we would let Sandra address her closing thoughts. And I will stop looking at Priestley images because that's going to be a problem. And the next thing you know, I'm going to be writing Priestley. It's going to be a whole thing.
Oh, gosh. No, overall, my takeaways, bangs and bingos can be a great injection of inspiration and creativity. I feel like if you need deadlines that to get writing done, sometimes I feel like that would be the impetus to kind of like get you going and motivated. Bangs just have that added pressure and responsibility, again, which some may like or need, of working with a partner to submit a final project. I really do wish, though, that, like I said, I think one of my wishes is that I wrote for something more popular and had that inkling in it just to see, an artist create something.
No, it's poppy. Beautiful.
But also, like, just, I guess, the fact that we came in on this, I know I did, came kind of late into the whole like supernatural heyday, especially the fan fiction. I just feel like there was a time when this was just off the charts. And I feel like it's really like the waning period of it. So it just kind of makes me a little, a little wistful about that. But I do know that from talking to Amy and Ash, I think one thing I want to try to participate in this year is the SPN Masquerade, the kink meme comment meme mm-hmm. thing. And I mean, Casey said they might want to try that. So I think that might be something we maybe try together and then report back. But aside from that.
No, I think bangs intimidate me because, as we've established, we're pick last
I don't think I would do another one unless it was a small one, like a mini. Mm. I don't think I could do.
I couldn't. My lifestyle doesn't allow me to commit to like 20K words. A mini bang, maybe, but it would have to be. Like none of the bangs that we had listed here really grabbed hold of me. I'm not going to lie.
Mm-hmm.
But bingos, I respond really well to prompts like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that would probably be it. But then we'd have to find
a kink bingo, I'm sure.
Yeah, we'd have to find something that Sandra and I could both participate in, because I could probably write like for Jackal's verse, but I wouldn't get as much enjoyment out of it as Sandra would. And vice versa, if we found a Sam or a Jared one, Sandra could do it, but she's not going to have as much fun doing it. Maybe SPN Masquerade or Kink Bingo is the way to go for sure. Yeah. And I'm going to make a note that I said song lyric challenge or song challenge.
Great.
And then when we're done with this episode, I'm going to go back and listen to the Christmas episode to fucking remember what I promised there. Because why won't you tell me? Like, you could just save me over an hour of my life and just tell me what I said.
Because I don't even remember. I just know that it's something in there. I just know that we were talking about what we were going to do for next year's Christmas episode. And I think it was that we were going to write Christmas fic.
That sounds like something I would have said, yeah.
We would have to start early. Because we have to get it done and then record it by a certain time. Does that sound familiar?
Definitely sounds like something I would have done, yeah. Well, do you know what then? I will go back and check that. But I think if we do a song lyric exchange, that should be us. But if we're doing Christmas, I think we should get Dreamer in on another prompt because she's good at prompts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Or this is where Sandra cuts this out completely. We put it out to the community. Give us some prompts, guys. We're both going to write from the same prompt for a Christmas fake. What would you want to see? What would you want to see us take on?
Okay.
Sandra is now making frantic timestamp notes.
I'm not going to cut it out.
To take that out.
Not going to cut it out.
If we got more than one prompt, I'd run a poll. We'd end up with a final. I'd let everyone vote on it. We wouldn't just have to pick from the pool. I'd do like a vote.
Oh, okay. Casey's got the whole thing processed out.
Got it fucking planned out.
Let's work on it, people.
So I figure if we start working on the Christmas fix in about March, probably be done by Christmas. So, you know. That's fine. But I think we've asked plenty of questions. But again,
we've gone so long.
Yeah, there's a lot of this is going to be cut out. On the back of that, if you do know why it is called a Big Bang, please let us know, because we have questions. I would imagine signups for the Jackals vs. Bingo that Sandra is participating in are well closed by now.
You know what? I think I actually saw something that Kim may be opening it up again, like maybe even right around this time. But it might be coming out. I've got to check, but I will look and see. It might be after. March. I'll check. But if it ends up being a thing where it opens up, I'll probably like add it into Kim's episode, so
yeah,
there'll be something in there description wise somewhere. There'll be description wise if it's still open, whether it's when Kim's episode comes out, or we'll just post it, you know, just post a little reminder or reblog.
I tell you what, because I don't hate myself enough, if it gets opened up again, I will enter and ask for a 3x3. How's that?
Okay, are you sure? You should probably, if it's, you already said that it wouldn't be like right up.
Yeah, but why not? Why not? Why not?
Now I gotta look.
Now it's real fucking intense if this is open, because I've just put my life on the line.
We're almost at the midway point for round one of the bingo. I'm very grateful to all the participants. I would like to open this round for late signups. The signup form will be open from February 1st through February 14th. New participants will receive a 3x3 card, so you can't even ask for another one.
Alrighty.
Okay, so it's got characters I can create for: Jason Teague Smallville, Jake Gray Devour, Priestley Tenenchiro, Tom Haniger, My Bloody Valentine, Dean Winchester, Jack Durfee from Buddy Games, Soldier Boy.
He was in that movie for fucking 30 seconds.
No, the second one he was in a little bit more. Bo Arlen, Big Sky, Jensen RPF is welcome.
Oh, so you can't do for any of the...
I think it was up until a certain like point. Like
Smallville or stuff?
I think it, no, it does say Smallville. Smallville's in there. Oh, does it?
Can you send me the, can you send me the link?
I can.
Thank you. There we go. I signed my life away, guys. I did it live on air, so no take backsies, I guess.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Kim will be so excited, though, that you sign up for it.
I'll drop her a message.
Kim will be over the moon about that.
Yeah, I'll drop her a message.
Oh. So look, we did a thing. We got Casey to sign up.
I'm genuinely hyped. I am genuinely, because those prompts you got me thinking. Mm-hmm. And while I don't need any more thinking, because like the place where I store my whips is getting real full. So
but you may have whips that might work for something like
Yeah, that's it. Like, yeah, I've been staring at the same whips for quite some time. Maybe
you
I need something new.
I've been saying that too, like with a couple things. Like when you wrote something else, it kind of loosened some stuff for you.
So there we go, people. So it opens on the 1st of January. So I will send.
No, February.
I will post, but 1st of February, I will post thingies. I will post proof that I have done what I promised to do. And then Sandra will have to take me through what I actually have to do for the thing.
I'll help you. I'll help you with it. It's not that complicated. It's easy. It's simple. You can do the thing. You get to post on Tumblr.
Yay. I post on Tumblr sometimes.
Yay. It's just fun format, though. It's like, you know, what you got to do the...
Oh, yeah, dicks. Yeah. I've been saying I had some Soulja Boy stuff in mind.
Here we go.
It's all male, mate. Like, it's all male. But, you know, that's probably fine. But I had some Soulja Boy stuff. I have it on my list. So, you know.
There we go.
And after Valentine's Day, I'll have seen My Bloody Valentine. So maybe this will give me the kick in the ass I need to order the DVD of 10 Inch Hero. You know, I'm not watching Smallville, though.
Okay.
All right. We should probably wrap this puppy up.
So tired.
I've talked Sandra's ear off for like 6 hours now. She's so done with me.
This has been, whew. Yeah, we're definitely going to have to talk more often because this was a episode. And we only did two episodes.
You couldn't even deny that. You couldn't even deny that. You couldn't even be like, no. You couldn't even be like, no, I love you. I'm not done with you. You're like, I fucking am, though. Shut up.
I do love you. I could just be done with you. Oh, God. I love you. You know I love you.
I know. But it has been a long 6 hours. And I have letters on a lot of tangents. So.
But that's okay.
I will take responsibility for that. So Sandra, it's your outro, baby. You do the thing.
Yeah, just let us know. Any ideas? Have you done bangs? Have you done bingos? Give us your insights.
You know why it's called the Big Bang. We need to know. Inquiring minds want to know. That's a Jensen reference.
Yes. So if you want to reach out to us, you can email us at idlingintheimpala@gmail.com. You can comment on Spotify and use the Q&A section to share your thoughts. All our contact details are on our website, idlingintheimpala.com. Go check it out.
Yes, go check the website out. Don't forget to like, comment, share, follow, subscribe, and rate. So wherever you access your podcasts, but ratings really help us on the audio places like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, stuff like that. And likes and comments really help us with the YouTube algorithm. That kind of engagement really helps us. You know, all hail the algorithm's benevolence. We don't want to offend it, but that would be super helpful. Thanks. As always, in the description of this episode are the causes that we are championing. So from me, we have a UK and a US-based LGBTQ+ talking charity that are there if you need to, you know, as the name suggests, reach out and talk to somebody. If you are in crisis and you need sort of like immediate helping, I should probably check that they do that. But until proven otherwise, I'm going to say they do. But they are basically just like places to talk to people who might be in similar situations to yours. Especially if you don't have that in your actual real life. From Sandra, we have some mental health charities and some charities that assist with, you know, dealing with trauma and recovering and, you know, sort of like being able to move forward with your life. Nobody's saying 2024 is our year. We fucking learned. But maybe 2024 is the year that you decide to tackle something that's been bugging you. So that's what they are there for. Also from Sandra, it's 2024. Yay, it's an election season. Everyone get your fucking flags out. Woo, election season. I'm waving imaginary flags. It's election season, which means there's going to be bullshit and shenanigans. So Sandra has provided us with the American Civil Liberties and vote.gov. I remembered it this time.
Yay.
Yes. Yay. Vote.gov, which is where you can go to find out like about any rules or regulations or things in your area, your state area with regards to voting. You know, keeping yourself updated on any changes, things like that, making sure that you're registered, making sure you have the right ID, you know, get registered early, get voting early if you can, and to bastardize the Rocky Horror Picture Show and the Tenacious D cover of Time Warp. It's a jump to the left, not a step to the right. Okay. Left, 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 left. Blue, 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 blue. Don't care what the name on the ballot is. Please vote blue. Seriously, we'll all die in a nuclear fire if he gets back into the White House. Like, it's a real problem at this point. Mm-hmm. So blue, 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 please. That's from Sandra. And as always, we are championing, highlighting, spotlighting any other adjective that means drawing attention to two charities that are working on the ground, both in the Ukraine, which is still subject to Russia's unlawful invasion and the war therein, and also in Gaza, which while Gaza and Palestine itself is not at war with Israel, it's technically Hamas that is at war with Israel. Israel seems to think that they're at war with Palestine. And unfortunately, the citizens of Gaza are very much trapped there. So this is not political in any way. This is purely humanitarian. Don't really care which side of the line you fall down on and who you think is right with regards to Russia and the Ukraine or Hamas and Israel. The fact of the matter is there are people still being affected by these conflicts. There are people that are trapped that have no access to basic necessities like food, water, medical care. That is what counts at this point. It is not about the politicians arguing it out or who's bombing who, whatever. This is people on the ground that did not ask for war and they are suffering as a result of it. So we are drawing attention to both World Central Kitchen, World Central Kitchen, and Doctors Without Borders. As the name suggests, World Central Kitchen is helping to provide food. Doctors Without Borders help to provide medical care. And they do this all over the world, not just in Palestine, in Gaza, and in the Ukraine. But if we mentioned all of the places that they help, the outro would be longer than the episode. So yeah. You can go to either of their websites to find out where they are allocating their resources. We practice what we preach here at Idling in the Impala. We have made donations to both World Central Kitchen and Doctors Without Borders. And we are not asking you to make a financial donation. If you are unable to, that is completely fine. You know, please don't put yourself in a bad financial situation. Even just sharing the links on social media, drawing attention to these causes and the places that they are helping. As we know, the news cycle in the West, things move very quickly. And things, if, you know, things move out of the news's sort of eye very quickly, but that does not mean that the situation that these civilians are in has changed. So if we can keep drawing attention to it, keep sharing these charities around so people are aware that just because the mainstream media isn't covering it doesn't mean it isn't happening. Of course, if you are in a position to financially donate, that would be freaking awesome, but that's not what we're asking. Just share the links around, that's all. So as always, if you need help from any of the charities that we have outlined here, that is what they are there for. And if you are able to help them keep helping others, either by financially donating or just sharing links around and drawing attention to it, that would be freaking amazing. And as always, we will say thank you for joining us in the backseat, and we will see you next time, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.